listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely, forever. One day, he's coming, O glorious day.
Buried, he carried.
today some of the last words of Christ just before his ascension, first from Matthew, then from Mark, and also from Luke. In Matthew 28, we read verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And then his words as Mark recorded them, Mark chapter 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then from Luke chapter 24, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." This is already the afternoon of the resurrection, right after he arose, and before they had really believed on him. And then he goes on, verse 46 of Luke 24, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Here we have the command of Christ to the apostles. We might say to the early church. Let's pray that we'll understand that for ourselves, and also looking at the examples of others, how they heeded these words, and that they were fulfilled, as he said, they must do. Our Father, we come to thee giving thanks for the gospel, for telling us that message, first by Moses, by the prophets, by David and the Psalms, by Isaiah, and then, Father, the gospel writers, telling us of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and now his command before he left this earth, giving the command to the apostles and directing Matthew, Mark, and Luke to write them down, and others as well telling us how they were fulfilled in those who heard them and how they then did preach the gospel to every creature. We pray, Father, that we might be able to do the same today. Rightly forgive us for not doing it when we have opportunity. We think of the many through our lives that we have met but did not tell that blessed message of Christ Jesus, living, dying, rising again, ascending, and coming back to earth. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give once again the church power to do this, as these were directed to tarry in Jerusalem until they were be endued with power from on high. We think of the times that the church was again revived and given power to repent, to believe, and to make the message known in the world, in our nation, in this area. We give thanks, Father, for those blessings of the past, and we pray that they might be repeated. And we think again of the words of the songwriter, that mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We need them, Father, the showers that will wash away our sin, the showers that will make the things of the Spirit to grow, to take root, and to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in each one of our lives and the lives of others, both Jew and Gentile. We also give thanks for the temporal things and the blessings in nature, the sunshine and the rain, the peace and the freedom that is ours. We pray for those lands where there is war. We pray for those that are in hunger when we have plenty and more. We pray for our homes and the needs in them, especially the troubled homes. We pray for those in sorrow, in lonesomeness, in older age. We pray, Father, for children in the troubled homes. We pray that thou wilt now bless us in this word today that we might hear thy voice through and because of Christ. Amen. We have seen and tried to see from the Scriptures the resurrection of Christ. We have seen that power that he has. And once again, we read of it from the Gospel of Matthew when he said to the apostles, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power. All power. Yes, there are other powers. There's the power of darkness. There's the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And though they are allowed to do much, yet Christ rules over all. And he has but to say the word. We can see in his life how he could cast out devils, how he could overrule, how he could give deliverance, how he could bring about peace where there was war in the soul. War against heaven, war against one another, war in the home. And we pray that the gospel will come again in such power that it will bring with each sinner peace with God, peace with themselves, peace with each other. And it is only the gospel. It is, as we read it in these different ways, in Matthew, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Here we have basically the command, what we are to do, and what we are able to do through Christ, who said to the apostles just before his death, "Without me you can do nothing." He also said, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit." And that's what Christ is telling them here. In the Gospel of Mark, we have more directly and particularly the gospel itself. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel. We think of it in different ways, but the right way, the more complete way, is to think of it as Paul could say to the Corinthians, "I preach unto you the gospel, which is Christ dying for our sin according to the Scriptures." Not according to our imagination, not according to some of our thoughts, but according to the Scriptures, all of the Scriptures. When Paul preached, he said, "I declared unto you the whole counsel of God." And he preached who this one was. Jesus, the Son of God. He proved from the Scriptures that he was that person promised already in the Old Testament to Adam, to Abraham, by Isaiah, David, and that he is the one that died. All according to the Scripture. We can read how others that preached with Paul proved from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And that is the gospel. Christ, the Son of God, becoming man, dying for your and my sin. If you believe, if I believe it. But also that he was buried. Actually was dead. Not just taken down from the cross, but dead. The Son of God. Killed, crucified by, as Peter said later, wicked hands, wicked hearts, a refusal, as Isaiah said, he's despised and rejected of men. God allowed men to have their way in having him crucified and hung on that cross till he was dead and then buried. But he rose again. And as he said before he died, "I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." He is the one that must be preached. 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 Preached with a purpose of having sinners believe on him, not on ourselves, not join our church, not be one with us first, except to be one with us in Christ. Preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, that includes those who may think they're born of blood, who were born of Abraham, who are born of believing parents, who think they are different, who think they can have a different promise than others, but who are born with others, sinners, that must be born again, must believe that someone had to die for them. Preach the gospel to every creature. Not some creatures, not the worst creatures, not particular creatures, every creature. That includes you. And if you haven't believed it as others, if you haven't believed it as with Paul, when he could say this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, then you may not believe it right. You may become short in your believing. You may be like the shallow ground. You may be like the thorny ground, allowing the things of this world to choke out the word. Yes, it can be the cares of this world. It can be the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, the lust of being a preacher, the lust of being recognized as righteous. It isn't just the lust of pleasures and the things of this world and the well-known evil things. Say that everybody knows that. It can be the lust of good things in the wrong way, for the wrong person. There were those who wanted to imitate Paul, cast out devils. The devils overcame them. They said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you? Yes, there are those who, sadly, I fear, enter the pulpit, into the place of wanting to be recognized as preaching the gospel, but not doing so by God's way, by being sent by Him. This must be done. Christ commanded it here. Paul spoke of it. In Romans 10, he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? After having stated, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, how can they call on Him whom they have not believed? How can they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? Some want to use that as a way to get money from churches and say, we have to be sent. You have to give us money. That's the way we are sent. That may be a small part of it. But when Christ sent out the apostles, that wasn't the way. He said, don't take scrip. Don't take money. Don't take anything extra. Just go. Stay wherever you come. It wasn't sent by people. It must be sent by God. That's why He tells us, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers that will go into the fields which are white of the harvest and where the laborers are few. We must have that call. As God gave it to Jeremiah, God gave it to John the Baptist, God gave it to Paul. He who revealed His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, and He preached Him as well to His own countrymen, the Israelites. Yes, Christ gives that command here to preach the gospel to every creature. In a few moments, if we have time, we'll see how that was done, particularly by Peter. Here we have the promise after the preaching. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved. Have you been saved? By the preaching of the word. That's God's way. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, after he had been there for a year and 6 months and preached the gospel to them, he wrote to them sometimes later, and he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He goes on to state, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, called not only by the preaching of the word, but called by the Holy Spirit of God as well. He said, those that are called, both Jews and Greeks, the religious and the worldly, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's God's way, to save them by the foolishness of preaching what the world thinks is foolish, what the world thinks is unnecessary. I don't need that. There's many people in the church don't believe they have to be preached to be saved. They've probably been told they've been saved by their baptism, or they've probably even been told that because they were already in the church, belonging to Christ, they were baptized. Christ said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God's order, which is often made void by the tradition of men. Yes, God's way, from Christ, the one that has all power. Thankfully, the power to overcome every lie, every obstacle, every hindrance of Satan. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have it not only in Matthew, as we read it, Mark, as we read it, but also Luke, as Christ stated it to them in the afternoon of the resurrection. He said, or Luke writing it, said, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They had to know the scriptures themselves. They had to have their understanding opened. We can read of that same morning that Peter and John did not yet understand the scriptures, that he must rise again. They were, in a way, blind leaders of the blind up to this point. They couldn't help each other. They couldn't have helped someone else. But here in this afternoon of the resurrection, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. If we read that same happening at the Gospel of John, we read he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's basically the same blessing. Whether he opened their understanding is described that way, it would have to be by the Spirit. The Spirit alone gives understanding. That's why Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Meaning he doesn't understand it. He doesn't know what it's all about. He cannot see it by the eye of faith. He has no faith, no understanding. It's foolishness. Nicodemus was that way. He says, how can these things be? How can a man, when he is old, be born? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He didn't even know what Christ was talking about, that it was the spiritual birth, not the physical. Yes, as I said a little while ago, not of blood. John 1:13. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here, these apostles were being born of God, having their understanding open that they might understand the scriptures. That was for themselves. And then Christ said, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, giving them the gospel from the Old Testament scriptures. Oh, if you haven't believed it, if you have the Old Testament scriptures, they are sufficient. They tell you the gospel by Isaiah, David, God's promise to Abraham. But then listen to verse 47 of Luke 24, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Repentance, every lie, has to be done away with, confessed, turned to God instead, submitting to God, to his truth. The lie to the down and outs, that they want to go on in their sinful ways. The lie to the up and outs, who think they are right with God without this blessing, without this new birth, without this repentance, without this humbling themselves before them, thinking they're all right, thinking they're already in the kingdom of God because of their birth, because of their physical lineage, because of their parents. The Jews, because of, they said, were Abraham's seed. John the Baptist said, don't say it. Yes, many times we want to wrest the scriptures. People do it, taking even Peter's words. Peter, who heard this from Christ, all three of these admonitions, all three of these directions, all three of these commands, given it, probably could have been some at the same time, some of it was later. We know Mark and Matthew talked of it later when in Galilee. Luke, as we read, was in the afternoon of the resurrection. But then Peter, having heard all of this, on the day of Pentecost, he had that power that God promised to give. Christ promised it, the Holy Spirit would come and endue them with power from on high. Peter had that on the day of Pentecost with the other apostles. And he preached to them, God blessing it. They were pricked in their hearts, humbled before God, hearing the gospel. Christ dying, Christ buried, Christ rising again. The grave couldn't keep him. He said, God has made him the Lord and Christ, both. But then listen to what he said. When they said, what must we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God calls through repentance, not through the blood, not through the natural birth, not even to a believer. He didn't to Abram. Abram's firstborn was cast out, Ishmael. Isaac's firstborn, Esau, was cast out. They had to repent. They had to believe. And so do you. Here Peter says, repent and believe, every one of you, not just the older ones, not just the parents. The promise is to you and your children that if you repent, every one of you and every one of your children, they will have the remission of their sins and the Holy Ghost. And if you and your children don't repent, as Christ said, he that believeth not shall perish, be damned. Yes, if you don't believe, you have to repent and believe the gospel. Woe unto you.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.